Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And this is our trilogy of slime. This episode is a trilogy of slime, but then also this episode is kicking off a series of three different episodes that deal with slime in the world, generally biologically speaking.
We're going to be knee-deep in slime, and so are you guys.
At least knee-deep.
Elbow in it.
Ugh.
And it's going to be awesome because this episode we will talk more about snails, a couple other critters out there in the world and their use of slime. But we will eventually get into slugs, slug sex, and whether or not slime can actually have a sort of memory. But of course, we're talking the second and third episodes. Right now, we need to talk about the slime of nature.
Yes. Now, slime, just in a general sense, slime is pretty awesome. Having been a young boy and still having a bit of a young boy inside my mind, I have a lot of fond memories about slimy things.
Mm-hmm.
Watching various slimy stunts. Remember Nickelodeon, of course.
Right.
Those guys dropping slime on people. And apparently this was a big tradition in British television since like the 70s or even the 60s of using some sort of stunt where someone gets dunked in slime.
Well, and of course there was actual slime itself that you could make and play
yes.
with,
mm-hmm.
Which is big deal, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people have done that actually in their science classes.
Yeah, or my mom is a kindergarten teacher, and every year they do this thing where they make the ooblick, which is a type of slime substance, and the recipe is in the back of a Dr. Seuss book called Ooblick. So, yeah, I mean, kids love slime. I also remember the Masters of the Universe action figures. They
mm-hmm.
had something called the Slime Pit. I don't know, your brother might have had this back in the
day. I don't think he had the Slime Pit.
Yeah. Well, the slime pit was gross, and I think there were a lot of parents that refused to buy it. Mine sure did. but on TV, it looked great because it was like this little, little construction. It was a little set for your Masters of the Universe He-Man figures and whatnot. And the evil Hordak would
Hordak.
Hordak. He was the
nice.
He would lock He-Man or whoever into the slime pit, and then you would dunk slime on them. And it was, you know, like, oh, they're so gross and disgusting now, and they're covered with slime. And so parents tended not to buy that.
And, of course, you know, this is the sort of slime thing we see later on in films like Alien, right?
This is used to slime.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great thing to try to get people to be completely repulsed.
Yeah. An interesting fact that I learned when I was writing the Xenomorph article for How Stuff Works, when they were filming Alien, they had to coat the creature in all this goo for every shot, but that would wear the paint off. So H.R. Giger was having to repaint that alien suit every evening or every morning before the shoot, so that it would look right.
You know, that would be such a cool job, to be the slime artist on that set.
Yeah.
Seriously, you'd have to make vats of it, and have to be the right kind of viscosity.
Yeah.
It would be pretty good stuff.
And there are a lot of slime monsters out there to get excited about. You sent me a list from IO9 yesterday, just a whole lot, and I was going through that. And some of them I was, you know, well familiar with, some not. Some of my favorites, though, of course, The Blob. Everyone loves The Blob. I did a Monster of the Week article about The Blob, talking about the possible science of the giant amoeba.
This is the 1950s The Blob.
Yeah, though the 1980s remake is really fun, too. People often overlook it, but it's nice.
That blob has really high hair.
Well, that blob, it's a different type of blob. It's a kind of a fast-moving blob, but there's some nice 1980s gore effects in there.
I just want to imagine it with really big blonde hair spiked up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, too. Yep. The gelatinous cube was a favorite of mine from Dungeons & Dragons. This was a big cube of clear blob jelly, and it would live in dungeon hallways.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd be running around through the dungeon, and you wouldn't see it because it looks clear, and then you'd bloop, go straight into it, and then it dissolves you down to bones and armor inside it.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's a fun one. You had ectoplasm in Ghostbusters 2. There was a lot of slimy effects there. You had Slimer in Ghostbusters 1, of course. Stephen King short stories. You had both The Raft and Gray Matter, both blob-inspired tales. On Star Trek The Next Generation, you had this one character called Armus, who was like this black, oily slime monster that ends up eating the blonde lady.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a list that you can find whole lists of slime monsters on the internet, and they're all great. I mean, there are movies like The Green Slime, and you could go on and on.
Yeah, and, you know, we are going to talk about this glorious goo, this slime, and its role in nature. So we're going to look at snails, the hagfish, and the African lungfish, but no xenomorphs,
yeah,
unfortunately. But slugs, I think, can take the place of xenomorphs pretty well.
Yeah, slugs are gross. I'm going to try and mask over this a little bit. Probably will fail in the slug sex episode, but slugs I've always found repulsive. And it's not really the slime per se. The slime is a part of it, I'm sure, but it's kind of a small part. There's just a lot going on that's repulsive about them. They're just, like, they're big and they're bloated. And it's not like a little snail with a little shell. That doesn't really affect me. Like, that's cute. I'll go to pains not to step on a snail.
Really?
Yeah.
If I show you this picture, I wonder how you'll feel about that now.
Oh, but, well, those are on a person's face.
Okay, so what I have is about maybe 8 of these snails, which are related to slugs, we know, and they are on this man's face. He's cringing in pain.
I think he's faking the pain. It looks more like repulsion, if anything, but
I don't know. I think they're doing something to his nostril there.
Well, yeah, okay, so I don't really like that at all.
Okay. But I just wanted to see your level of sensitivity.
But if they were just on the, you know, in some rocks outside of a house on a rainy day, I would just let it go. But.
Well, I will tell you that I love these guys. They're juicy and squishy.
Ugh.
And they leave a trail. They're beautifully disgusting creatures, and we're going to get into the merits of these creatures.
Well, I do respect the slug and the snail. I mean, gastropods are amazing. And one of the things about slime, and one of the things we really want to bring out about slime in this episode, is that it is such a fantastic organic substance. And there's so many uses for it. And it's used for so many things that even if you're into it in this kind of like 8-year-old slime is awesome kind of way, you're really only getting this one-dimensional idea of what slime is and what it can and is used for.
Yeah, it is amazing stuff. Let's talk about slugs, though. Let's talk about their appearance, their anatomy, They are smooth and uniform in appearance. Mm-hmm. They're essentially snails without the albatross of a shell.
Yeah, they dropped that in their evolutionary history.
They dropped that, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, though, because that has definitely informed the placement of certain things on their anatomy. They get around through hydrostatic pulses of their tube-like bodies, as well as the slime that helps them locomote.
Yeah, they have that foot.
Yes, they've got a little gastropod foot. And they sense the world using two sets of tentacles or feelers on their heads. So one set detects light and dark. All right, let's talk about the slime that they have.
This the slime that they put out. It's really fascinating. Just from a chemical standpoint. I was reading this article. It's talking about the work of UW bioengineering professors Pedro Verdugo and Christopher Vinny, and they were working with a zoology professor Ingrid Deerp Olsen. And this is from 93, but they were looking at the way slugs use it for protection, for locomotion, all these methods that we're talking about. But they were interested in what it was like at a molecular level.
Mm-hmm.
And previously, researchers thought that slug slime was more like a bowl of spaghetti, just lots of tangled strands of goo, like somebody blowing their nose continuously into a bowl, kind of. I know this is disgusting, but... We're talking about slime, so just imagine that. That was kind of like the idea on a smaller level.
Yeah, okay. And the more strands, the more tangled, the more mucus is what they thought.
Yeah. But in 93, these guys showed that slug mucus is not random. It is a highly organized polymetric material. And when secreted, the polymer absorbs water rapidly, up to 100 times its initial volume. So it's kind of like a, you know, just add water kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this slime is packed in as granules inside the body.
So it's dry mucus in granules.
Yeah, like granules of mucus. And then when they pump it out,
uh-huh.
then it activates, and then it touches water, and then it grows into this slime substance.
Oh, okay. So this is why slugs don't suck up too much water and explode when they crawl across water.
Right.
Because they can control that action of the granules meeting the water and then expanding.
Yeah, one of the things that I found useful in just thinking about slime is to not to think of it merely as something that is excreted, that is external to the creature.
Mm-hmm.
Though, I mean, of course it is, but to really think of it as the outer layer of that creature's body. It's really a part of it. I mean, it's, and we're going to get into all the various uses for it as we continue here, but the slime is essentially a part of the creature.
Well, right, just another layer of skin, so to speak.
Yeah, basically.
You know, yeah. So here, this is really important, though, this secretion, because obviously they do this for various reasons, but if you were to pick up a slug, it would feel threatened, then it would produce a lot of the goo, a lot of this mucus.
Yeah, and that's what you get. You should get a fistful of slime if you're going around picking up slugs. What's the matter with you?
Now, some listeners may have done this before and discovered that if they picked it up and they went to go wash their hands afterwards, what would happen? Well, when they tried to get that goo off of their hands, the slime would actually double in volume or triple.
Yeah.
Because, again, you've got that water, and it's just going to make matters worse. So you're trying to wash your hands off, and the best thing to do is actually not even get to the water first. Just get a dry towel, wipe it off as much as possible, and then wash your hands.
Yeah. But, I mean, who's picking these things up?
The cool thing about that is it shows you the incredible adhesive properties that it has, right? It gets on your hands.
Yeah.
It's just incredibly hard to get off. But it gives you a good clue as to how they get around, how they navigate with this.
Well, yeah, and it also shows, it gives you a little insight into how versatile slime is.
Mm-hmm.
Because on one hand, it's used for locomotion. It's used about reducing friction. So that, I mean, basically the slug or snail is creating a little road for itself that
right.
it can travel. And a road that other snails may encounter, and they're able to tell where and when the last slug or snail was on that trail. Like, there's also a lot of communication going on here, which we'll get into. But
shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astepro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about how they get around here, because slugs have no articulate skeletal system, so they have to crawl.
Right.
And they do this by using complex muscle movements, especially a broad muscular organ at the base of the snail's body, known as the foot, as
the
you
foot,
said.
Yeah.
And these actions are then aided by the slime that the slug secretes. So as you had said, it does double duty. It can reduce friction between the snail's body and the ground mm-hmm. to let them glide along, but together with the sucking action of the foot sole, it can help the snail stick to a surface. So we're talking about the edge of a knife here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can find videos of this. Famously, slugs can crawl over the blade of a razor and they're unscathed. Snails with large shells can climb up trees carrying this heavy weight with them, mm-hmm. and it's no big deal because of the versatility of the slime. And like I mentioned a second ago, slugs use slime to communicate with each other. One slug's trail will contain various important directional information, allows a second slug to follow. If a slug is in the mood to mate, that will be a signal inside the slime that it's secreting. So there's kind of a mood slime going on as well. When a slug is putting out some slime, in a way it is it's writing a poem. It's sending out a missive to the rest of the gastropod world to interpret.
And we will talk in the next podcast about that courtship dance, which is so incredibly bizarre and beautiful and disgusting at the same time.
Yeah. Now, another thing you mentioned about the picking up a slug mm-hmm. and about when they're threatened, that's another thing. That's another example of mood slime. Many snails can foam when they encounter a predator or if they touch something that is repulsive, which I guess is kind of ironic, but they'll encounter substances that they don't dig, and when right. they do, they just whip out the slime. Because, again, this is like, you know, people, you know, when someone says something, you know, kind of mean to somebody and they get hurt, they say, oh, why don't you grow some skin, grow some thick skin so you can deal with that. Well, that's kind of what the slug or the snail is doing here.
Right.
Encounter something it doesn't like, it grows that skin. It grows that layer of slime that that distances itself from the potential dangers of the world.
It can also be distasteful or toxic mm-hmm. in content, so that if a bird wants to peck at it, it will soon discover that this is not something it wants to eat. So that's a good way that it can avoid predators. It can use its slime as a repelling cord to lower itself down on the ground from yeah. plant stems.
Again, the stickiness and the durability of the slime. And this is all just one reason why scientists continue to be very interested in the biomimetic possibilities for slime, looking at it and saying, what is there about the gastropod use of slime that we can learn from and then we can use in our products and mm-hmm. our technologies? So you're talking about possibilities in drug delivery systems, pollutant traps for sewage treatment plants, water-based lubricants, chemical information storage. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, because it really is amazing how the slime organizes itself and helps the slug out here.
Just how versatile is it? Well, you actually have bubble rafting snails, and this is pretty amazing. These are all aquatic snails, mm-hmm. and what they do is they secrete the mucus from their foot, and then they use this to create this this kind of float that they then live under for the rest of their lives.
So it's like a raft.
Yeah, it's like
and
a raft.
Like barnacles stuck to it.
Yeah, a little raft that they live underneath. And, you know, actually, this reminds me a bit of the Stephen King story, The Raft, in which you had a wooden raft, and there are these teenagers stuck on top of it, and there's this grotesque, oily blob monster underneath trying to eat them.
You see how all roads lead to Stephen King?
Just about. I mean, he wrote a lot of stuff. So, you know, anything that entered his head, there's a good chance it exited as a short story or a gigantic novel. This particular use of the mucus is really interesting because the mucus has bubbles in it, so that's why it's floating, mm-hmm. and it serves as this thing that they're anchored to for the rest of their life. And it's really interesting, too, when you start looking at why they do this, how they evolved to do this. And the general idea is that ancestors of these bubble rafting snails were using their hardened slime to anchor eggs on the bottom of the body of water that they're in. And this practice eventually evolved into the use of adding air bubbles to it and using it as this flotation device that they depend on.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that's that, again, the adhesive property and the ability to have some sort of flexible movement, too, that a lot of researchers are interested in when it comes to, like, healing bones, for instance. They're trying to figure out how slime and its ability to harden at mm-hmm. times, but also locomote, could help bones better heal. So there are all sorts of really cool things. The other thing I was thinking about is that it always comes down to reproductive fitness. So yeah. if you see this this raft configuration, this glomming on, it's because the survival of that egg is important to the species. And we'll talk more about this in the Slug Sex podcast, but it really, when you look at the reasons for a lot of things in nature, it's very interesting to see how everything sort of evolved from around that basic reason.
Yeah. Now, I was really, in researching slugs and snails, I was really horrified/amazed by how successful they are, particularly in areas where they're invasive, of course. Mm-hmm. And they're invasive a lot of the snails and slugs we have here in North America were introduced. I'm sure anyone who belongs to, say, a CSA, community-supported agriculture group, has wound up with slugs in their kitchen before. I have. It's horrifying.
This is what it's all coming down to. You had a really bad experience with a slug.
Well, no, this was like a couple months ago. I don't know when I had quote-unquote bad experiences with slugs. I remember mm-hmm. seeing big slugs when I was a kid, but none of them ever attacked me or anything. Mm-hmm. But they'll show up, like, occasionally they'll hitch a ride on some produce, and mm-hmm. then they're in your sink. And you have that moment where you think your house is being invaded by slugs. Mm-hmm. And some people's houses are invaded by slugs, and it's disgusting. But
whose house is invaded by a slug?
I hear things about people who are like, yeah, slugs crawl into my house at night.
Here in Georgia?
Yeah. I think so.
All right.
Yeah. But because they can go under the door and stuff. They're squishy. They can squeeze. But anyway, my point being is that they're tremendously great at chomping down produce. They can be quite a pest. I was reading in this book 1493 by Charles C. Mann, and this is about Columbus's discovery of the New World and the biological ramifications of that. But he includes a couple of accounts in there about attempts to introduce golden apple snails from Brazil to Taiwan and then also to the Philippines in an attempt to create a caviar business.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these failed. Partially, I look at the Taiwan example because the Taiwanese really weren't into the idea of eating caviar. But then you end up with these apple snails just out and about, and they're just eating everything. They're eating the eggs of other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They're eating rice plants. So these things can be quite the pest when they get out of control. In fact, one stat I ran across said that wherever, and this is from the University of Florida, or Florida, if you will, they said that whenever the plant damage done by snails and slugs is easily observable, it has been determined that the live weight of the slugs infesting the area may be around 70 pounds per acre. 70 pounds of slug.
That sounds delicious.
Can you just imagine it? Like, I picture it like congealing in the form of like a human, just all slug. It's gross. But it's an amazing creature, and it's amazingly successful creatures. So there you go.
This is what I like to think about. Slugs in your beauty products.
Yes.
And this cracks me up because in 2006, Chilean farmers reportedly noticed, and this sounds like a Volé commercial, they reportedly noticed visibly smoother skin after handling snails they were breeding for the French food market, of course.
Yeah, and this apparently falls in with some very old ideas. Hippocrates, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He reportedly prescribed a mixture of sour milk and crushed snails for skin inflammations. So it's we've known for a while that there's something in the slime that can help us, that can be beneficial.
Well, it's packed with glycolic acid and elastin. A snail secretion protects its own skin from cuts, bacteria, and powerful UV rays, making Mother Nature's gooiness a prime source for proteins that eliminate dead cells and regenerate skin.
Yeah, so
I just read that off a bottle of beauty product. I didn't, but doesn't that? I mean, it's
yeah. Well, when you're
sounds
this
lovely.
Is the thing when you're buying that beauty product, you think you're like, oh, I'm getting this elegant man-made ointment to rub on my skin, and then I'm better off. But no, what you're really doing is you're stealing a snail or slug's self-defense system. You're
right.
You're co-opting their self-defense system, and it's interesting to think of it that way.
For smooth skin. It just reminds me of like an absolutely fabulous episode. Did you ever watch that?
I think I saw parts of it. I remember it being on. Yeah.
I can just imagine Adina like flying down to Chile and noticing that the locals have fabulous skin and then starting to put slugs all over her face. No doubt there's some sort of cosmetics VP out there that has done that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about slime, hagfish, and some of the defenses that these creatures have, including stuffing mouths full of slime, gagging their nemesis.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. So first off, we're going to talk about the hagfish, which is arguably a repulsive creature. Has no jawbones, has no backbone. If you've ever seen... I believe it was David Attenborough's Life, I think it was, that had some fantastic scenes of these creatures feeding, among other creatures, feeding on a dead whale mm-hmm. on the ocean floor. That's what they do. They love to eat decaying animal matter in the ocean. They'll just bore into it and then eat their way back out of the corpse.
Yeah, they're mostly like the vultures of the sea.
Yeah.
They do some hunting, but they're basically scavengers, and they're an eel-like looking fish.
Yeah. Blind, and that essentially, if you've seen the movie Tremors, those things that come out
yes.
of the Tremors, the graboid's mouth,
yeah.
those are essentially hagfish.
But these guys have been swimming in the oceans for 300 million years, and there are 77 species all over the world. This is cool. It's got a plate of cartilage studded with two rows of teeth, which it uses to burrow down into the dead carcasses. Its only predators are either very large fish whose gills are too big to clog, or mammals which obviously don't have gills and whose stomachs can easily digest or expel the slime. So it's out there and it's proliferating.
Yeah, I mean, and the slime is key, because what it'll do, if you, like, I've seen some footage of fishermen pulling them out, and when they pull them out, they tie into these knots,
mm-hmm.
they kind of knot their body and then start excreting the slime. And, it creates quite a lot of slime, like clear Crisco-looking stuff, even when they're out of the water. But when they're in the water, of course, as we discussed earlier, what does slime do when it encounters more water? It becomes thicker and thicker, and there's more and more of it. So something tries to eat a hagfish, say a shark, it pumps out the slime. And this slime is thick and just viscous. And shark suddenly has not only a mouthful of hagfish, but a mouthful of choking slime.
Yeah, it oozes from hundreds of pores that line their bodies. And the slime consists of large mucus proteins called mucins, linked together by longer protein threads. So when it mixes with the seawaters, you say it massively expands, becoming almost 1,000 times more dilute than other animal mucus.
Yeah.
So it kind of leaves the slugs in the dust there when it comes to its production of mucus.
Yeah. Imagine if humans had this ability. You know, someone starts messing with you, say they grab your arm on the train, and then you just excrete out some slime, and then they can't even get a handle on you.
I would go for that.
Yeah.
Would you then feel less sort of disgusted by slugs if you had the ability to slime yourself?
I don't know. I was thinking about that earlier today. Like, what if humans were slime creatures? And what if we left trails everywhere we went? What if, I don't know. I guess, you know, I'd be cool with it then. What choice would I have?
But, right, exactly. You'd embrace it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of grossed out by some of the things humans do, just biologically. So maybe I wouldn't be cool with it.
You would be that lone human covered in slime in the corner.
Well, I would probably be the one that's trying to groom himself free of slime, and then I would have, like, horrible slug skin.
Yeah, you would. You'd have, like, little rashes on your skin from when you try to lick it off, or actually just get it off with a dry towel, as we know. All right, so here's the cool thing about these hagfish is that they're hanging out in the ocean. They're chomping on a fish carcass. All of a sudden, a shark comes up, bites it. What happens?
Well, it starts pumping out the slime, right?
Yes, to the point that there's so much slime in that shark's mouth that it begins to convulse and it retreats. So what other animal can you think of in the ocean that has such a wonderfully direct and disgusting defense system?
A skunk?
Ah.
So it's kind of the skunk of
the
sea?
Underwater skunk. Yes. Yeah, actually it is. And it's so cool because this flinty hagfish is so confident that it will just, there's video of this, that it'll just, after it's been bit, it'll just kind of return to eating again. Like, oh yeah, another shark just came by, tried to eat me.
Yeah, well, they're pretty simple creatures in that regard. I mean, there's just like eating corpses and occasionally sliming a shark, and that's really all it has going on.
And they do hunt a bit too. There is video of them sticking their heads into burrows trying to find fish. Mm-hmm. And then when they do, it's thought that they choke a fish with its slime. So they produce the slime. Can you imagine that if you're in that burrow and you're in that fish? And then they knot themselves, the lower half of its body, to gain leverage against the burrow and drag the fish out.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that they ever used their slime offensively, but that's interesting.
Yeah, not as much, right, because they're mostly scavengers.
But okay, you're not always going to have that whale carcass to feed on. And when times are tough, you turn to hunting.
See a tasty
fish, like a lot of scavengers.
Right. You see a tasty fish go into a burrow and that's it. It also knots itself to help free itself from predators and even as a way to clear the slime from its body.
Yes, I've seen that too. It kind of wrings itself out like a towel. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in the sense that it's removing slime from inside it, but just sort of like...
In the process of knotting itself, it sloughs it off. Yeah. Kind of like you would if you were covered.
Yeah, the same way if I were covered with slime, I would just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just did a little motion of getting it off our arms there.
Yeah.
All right, so this is not the only creature, obviously, in the ocean that loves its slime. Actually, all fish are covered in slime.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of the information we found on this we found on fishing websites, where they really are even better and better these days about trying to encourage fishermen and fisherwomen and anglers in general, I guess, that when you catch a fish and you're releasing it, you just try not to handle it all that much because you're going to wipe off slime. And the slime of the fish is really essential to so many different functions, as we'll discuss here. One of the coolest that we ran across, the African lungfish. And the African lungfish is a creature that lives in swamps, backwaters of West and South Africa. They're carnivores, they eat frogs and other small fish, but occasionally there's a drought, right? And when the shallow water that it lives in evaporates, the lungfish secretes the slime all around itself and forms that dries into a cocoon.
Mm-hmm. And which is important, too, to note that they have lungs and they can breathe air, so it works in conjunction with this.
Yeah, they can live out of water in this cocoon for up to a year, though usually it's not quite that long.
Yep, and they may hibernate by chewing into the soil and the debris at the bottom of a waterway, ejecting mud from the gills as it burrows down. Very cool. And it digs 1 to 9 inches below the surface, then wiggles around to create a bulb-shaped chamber. And then when the chamber is complete, the fish rests with its nose pointing upward. And then in water, it can survive up to 4 years in this state. So it pretty much goes into a state of torpor.
So what else does slime do for our fishy friends? Well, there's a whole list of things. For starters, slime plays an important role in the efficiency of gas transport through the fish's skin. It provides external protection. It makes it externally slippery for larger creatures. It makes it harder for parasites and pathogens to infiltrate the fish. It also reduces turbulence, and this is especially the case with fast-moving fish mm-hmm. that drag resulting from small spaces between scales and projecting body parts. So you cover everything with some slime, everything's smoother, the fish is able to travel faster, more streamlined. Slime is also useful for coagulating particles, providing clean water in the immediate area around the fish, thus improving the movement and dermal respiration.
So it kind of gathers up the dirt and mm-hmm. allows a fresh water source. It
produces toxins. We mentioned this already with the hagfish producing this the slime that is used as a defensive measure, but you also see this in lampreys and other slimy creatures. They're able to use it, again, as a protective and occasionally offensive weapon. Cocoon formation with the lungfish that we already mentioned. Feeding. Several fish secrete body slimes to feed their young. Baby discus fish, for instance, feed on an overabundance of slime which develops on the sides of the parent fish at breeding time. So, and finally, it can also be used as an alarm substance or a nest-building material.
So there you go. More facts about slime that you probably never knew.
Yep.
And I hope that you have a better appreciation for the slugs in your life, the hagfish, the African lungfish.
Yeah. Ultimately, a slimy creature is not merely slimy so that it can, you know, shock you or repulse you. It's far more complicated than that, involving locomotion, communication. Ugh, and you're showing the picture to me again.
I just wanted to see how much of the merits have changed your mind. I think you're still there.
On a related note, I will say I did a blog post yesterday. Titled "Good Question: How Does Salt Melt a Garden Slug?"
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in learning about that, go check out that blog post. It's a really fascinating situation. It's not just a situation where the salt is destroying the slug, even mm-hmm. though that's what it looks like when a kid puts salt on a slug. But ultimately, it's drawing all of the moisture out of the slug, and it all has to do with the nature of slime and how the slime is ultimately a part of that creature.
And I guess you could vanquish slugs with that method if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Although it's not so great for the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's just gross.
I suppose one or two wouldn't hurt. But
there are better ways to keep slugs away.
Yeah, I'm not advocating slug sadism.
Yeah. Because really, yeah, my thing with putting salt on the slugs is I already thought they were gross. And if you put salt on them, it's just a grosser situation. And I don't want to cause them pain. I just want them to not be around me. So
okay, good to know.
All right. Well, on that note, we're gonna skip on the listener mail today. Maybe we'll do some in the next couple of episodes. So indeed, look for our Valentine's Day episode on the sex life of slugs. It is grotesque. And should be a nice remedy for anyone out there who's just a little tired of the over-commercialized Valentine's Day nonsense.
Well, I would say, though, there is some romance. There's some visual fireworks going on.
There's some bromance.
There is some romance.
There's sistermance. And sistermance. It's a whole new world of sexuality that you will discover in the next episode of Stuff to Blow Your Mind.
I think it's hermaphromance, actually.
Hermaphromance, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tune in for the hermaphromance. So, in the meantime, if you have some anecdotes you'd like to share about slugs, snails, slime, slimy fish, the purposes of slime, slime on the movies, slime on TV shows, slime is just a part of our culture, let us know about it. You can find us on Facebook, where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind. You can find us on Tumblr. We're also Stuff to Blow Your Mind. You can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind. And yes, you can share grotesque photos of slugs, and it'll probably make me wretch, but that's your right as a listener.
You guys know what to do. All right. If you want to drop a line, you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.